Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? We have quite a feast here. One of the students, Roslyn, just now when ferrying me over, I was over at the NUS 40th anniversary. They have the an anniversary lunch. It's a privilege to be there, to see some of the... you were not there, huh? But it's okay. Yeah. I think not everybody can make it, yeah, but it's very heartwarming to see the generations of young Buddhists, and now not so young anymore, a lot of them. Yeah. So along the way, Roslyn and her son went over to fetch me to come over here. Then she was asking me about the offering, whether it's okay to offer this or that. Yeah, it doesn't have to be something elaborate, yeah, but it must come from your heart. Okay, try not to buy chicken rice lah. Maybe sometime later, maybe one of the sessions we can share on the offerings. Today, let me see. We are going to talk about karma. Yeah. But is there anyone who is new here today? Yes. Hello. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
My name is
Boon. Hello, Boon.
First time here.
Okay. You are the brother of Joanne.
I'm just second class.
I see. Lovely, lovely. Welcome. Who else is here for the first time? Yes. Tell us your name. And it's okay, you can stand, you can sit.
I'm Andra.
Andra?
Yeah, stand here. Our curiosity.
Good. And how did you come to know about this group?
Foyo.
Yeah. Oh, we are in Foyo.
Yeah, actually it's been a while, but I just didn't have the time.
Good. Welcome. And young man, a long time no see. How are you?
I'm 29 years old.
Single or?
Rather not single.
It's complicated. Yes. Yeah. Good. Welcome. Let's see. Who else? Anybody else? Okay, the rest are all season parking holders. Welcome to SGC, where we have short chanting, short sitting, and not so short Dhamma sharing. Now it's a bit shorter. Used to be longer. Yeah, but you many times. Last time when it's 2 hours, I also overrun. So now not so bad. So today's topic. Today is actually kind of like a ask me anything. Yeah. So we have a series. So every month the last week we'll allocate time as part of a series called AMA, Ask Me Anything. But if we just leave it open to ask anything, then maybe some people ask me programming. Then maybe it can go very far. So today's topic will be about karma, good luck, bad luck. Is it due to karma or is it due to chance? And then I will share a bit. And when I say a bit, usually I may overshot already. And then we will have some time for people to ask questions. Okay? First and foremost, do you all feel that there is something called luck? How many of you think that there's luck? Raise your hand. Okay? Put it down. How many of you don't think there's luck? Okay? How many of you are undecided? Okay? Some of you raised twice. Yeah, it's okay. So then question is, while you all have already answered, you believe that there's luck or no luck, but actually what is luck? What is luck? Yes.
Good things happen, like this is the thing you like, then it
happens. So when something happens, something that you like to happen. Then you feel that it's luck. Do you all agree? More or less, huh? Yeah. So if it's something that you expect to happen and it happened, is it still luck? No, huh? So it's not just that you like it to happen. It's something that you like to happen and but you don't expect it to happen and yet it happened. Then you feel that you are luck. It's due to luck. And the higher the probability of it not happening, and yet it happened, then you feel that you are very lucky. So the amount of luck depends on how improbable that event is to happen. Yeah. So, for example, do you all like to breathe? Say yes. Who don't like to breathe? Tell me. After class, see me. We all like to breathe, isn't it? I mean, when we say like to breathe, it's a bit strange because we breathe without thinking. Yeah. If you have to think about breathing, usually it's not a good news. But yet, although we like to breathe, every day it happens. Yeah. In fact, not just every day, every moment. Yeah. Are there moments where you don't breathe? Actually, for many people, it happens. It's called sleep apnea. Yeah. At night, some people, when they sleep, whether they snore or not, sometimes the pathway gets blocked. And for 1 second or two, they stop breathing. Yeah. But they don't die. Yeah. However, in the long term, it actually affects their health. It affects the heart, it affects the breathing, it affects the brain. Yeah. So one ex-colleague and one devotee, they actually get this device for them to breathe at night. Yeah. I mean, they're not chronically ill, yeah, but they were advised by the doctors and they tried it. And so both of them told me that in case if you have, like if any of your students have snoring problem, good to just go and do a check. Yeah. But for most of us, we don't feel anything about it. Yeah. So something that we like, yeah, that is pleasant, yeah, but because we don't have the expectation that it will not happen, so when it happens, we don't feel like it's lucky, you know. Yeah. Every day we breathe, we don't feel like it's anything lucky, isn't it? Yeah. But until when our health deteriorates, yeah, then when we improve, oh, we feel that it's very lucky. So does luck really exist? Yeah, does luck really exist? Yeah. Question mark. I think most people in this world believe in some element of luck. Yeah, you call it luck, you call it fortune. Yeah, winds of fortune. Yeah, we call it a lot of things. But the question is, can you influence your luck, if there is such a thing? Okay. While most people cannot really prove luck, yeah, but we seem to observe certain patterns. Yeah. Do you find that there are some people in your life who is always very lucky? Yeah. Every time to obey people. Then there are some people, whenever there's like annual D&D or something, always kena the some prize. Minimally third prize. Wow, so lucky one. Huh? Yeah. How many of you feel lucky? How many of you feel lucky? Okay, 1, 2, 3. What do you feel lucky about? So you feel very lucky to have all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, many times we take people around us for granted, you know. Yeah. We assume that yesterday they were here, they should be here tomorrow. Yeah, today should be here, tomorrow should be here. Yeah, because we assume they should be here, so we don't feel any luckiness at all. Yeah, every day we wake up, they are there. Yeah. In fact, sometimes we feel, but it's actually a fortune in a way. Will, how about you?
In my kindness, I don't know, somehow like you say D&D, I have more like the etiquette.
Oh.
Hampers,
etiquette.
In the
20s. So everything quite okay. Good. Blessed. Good. How about you?
I'm fortunate in a way that my working life is good. I have good colleagues and I have good bosses. And I have an extended family that can care of me well. I have good children and four grandkids. So in this life, I consider very contented by some person.
Okay. Amitabha. So think about it. I want you to just spend maybe 1 minute or two. Think about your life. Yeah. In a way, when we use the word lucky, it seems almost is by sheer chance. Yeah, luck. When we say it's due to luck, then it's as though we are not involved at all. That no one is involved. Yeah? But it just happened to happen. Yeah? Regardless. Yeah? Think about your own life. Try to see whether there's anything for us to be thankful for or grateful for. Then maybe you may start to feel really lucky, you know. Yeah. I'll give you 1-2 minutes to think about it. Then after that, you'll be happier people. If you really cannot find anything, then take a deep breath and be thankful that you can take a deep breath. Yeah. And then you ask yourself, when you breathe in, is it comfortable or is it painful? Yeah. There are those with chronic illnesses, every breath is a struggle, you know? Now, do y'all feel luckier? Do y'all feel luckier now? In Buddhism, do we say that there's luck? Why do we say that there's luck and no luck? First of all, we earlier agreed that luck or feeling lucky is when something that is agreeable to us, something that we like, something that we wish to happen, happen. And the least probable it is to happen, the more you feel you're lucky. Yeah. So the question is, why is it that generally speaking, in Buddhism, we don't have this notion of luck? Yeah. We don't say, oh, when you are successful, it's due to luck. Yeah. But how about other schools of thought? Yeah. Whether it's cultural, Chinese culture, or how about other religion? I'm not an expert in other religion. So if you all know, you all may share also. But culturally, is there such a notion of luck? Yeah. In Chinese culture, there's a very strong notion of that. We call it 运程. Yeah. That from the time you are born until you nyak kong kiat one day, yeah, there seem to be certain patterns. Yeah. So whether we subscribe to it, as Chinese, we, you know, more or less have that belief, you know. Yeah, seem to be. Maybe some have stronger belief, some has lesser belief. Or some may not even have any idea about it. Do you all know about Chinese horoscope? Yeah? We have 12 animals, right? Of the 12 animals, there's 5 elements. Yeah, this is the Chinese Taoist understanding. Yeah, so altogether, 12 times 5, you have a cycle of 60. Then according to this, then it is believed that in this 60-year cycle, your fortunes may wax or wane. Yeah, that means it may become better or lower. And on a daily basis, it varies. And depending on what you want to do, then it may be better to do or not so good to do. So down to what detail? Down to when should you cut your hair? So Chinese have consolidated all this information into this manuscript. Yeah, this book. Yeah, and this book will tell you exactly when to do what. Very systematic. Yeah. Have you all seen this book before? What do you call it? Whoa, all of you. Hi, Wanxiao. Sifu. Every month, lunar month, number 22nd of the month, I will go and cut my hair or something. Yeah. When I drink water, I also calculate. It's very intriguing, you know. Yeah, Chinese have this kind of belief. Yeah. Long story short, I ever encountered. Yeah, long time ago, I can't remember how I got to know this person. One person introduced, another person introduced. Somehow, this person who owns a feng shui shop, German sea shop, somehow learned to about me knowing how to write programs. That was way back in the early 90s, you know. I don't know whether I was in JC or something. Way before I even entered university. So this person asked for a meetup, sat down and told me his idea. He said he wants to digitize the art of fortune telling. So he wants me to write a program to encode the whole book into an app. Of course, back then we don't call it app, but we call it programmer. Yeah. And in order to do that, he must teach me how to read it. So I 有一两招, no? Actually, it's not difficult, no? Yeah, it's actually like a mathematical table. So those of us who are old enough, you would have used the logarithm table before, the trigonometry table, yeah, sine, cosine, you know, tangent, all those. Yeah, nowadays, just punch calculators, right? Yeah, I mean, even at the upper sec JC, we started punching calculator. But in the lower sec, we actually learn about the table. Yeah, you have the angle, right? You put in the angle, then you have the value. Or you put the adjacent, hypotenuse, and the opposite, then you get the value. Yeah, very interesting, you know. But that's jigo. Sifu, stop talking about maths and science and physics. I tell you, the tongshu is exactly like that. Yeah. Your 生辰八字, you know, 天罡字什么什么一大堆啊, all those things, all the value, you input, not that you can type, but the book itself, you look for the reference date, yeah. Then according to that, you look for the page. Then in that page, they have another table. It's a lookup table. So you go through like 4 to 5 layers of lookup, then you will have, okay, for this particular date. Then all the features of this date. So when I go through that, and over the years, I met a lot of different people with different levels of understanding of this whole system, and I suspect the Chinese approach is actually big data analysis. Yeah, it's statistics, you know. Yeah, because Chinese are very good with records, you see, and they are crazy about keeping track of everybody. The emperor in the past. So they must have kept track of many different population, villages, town in a lot of places, and they collated. I mean, 60 years in China, 5,000 history is nothing, you know. Yeah. So when they collect a lot of a few hundred years, then they observe roughly there's a pattern. Yeah. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. Yeah. So this is what I concur, that it is actually big data. But when we talk about statistics, statistics is a way to help us understand a certain pattern. Yeah. But are there exceptions to the rule? There are. Yeah. So while some people, when they think about feng shui, they think about the tong shu, then it seems very mystical, you know. Yeah. But it's actually simply an understanding of human behavior. Yeah. Out of 100%, 1,000%, 1,000,000%, when everybody do this, then something happened. When most people do that, then another thing happened. Then you ask yourself, you want this or that to happen? No? In a way, that's what the Buddha did, you know. Except that he didn't just observe over a few hundred years. He observed, it is said in the sutta, that he observed his own life and past life. He observed many, many people's past life. And from there, he observed several different levels of patterns. He observed that he who act in a ways that is harmful, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct or lie, yeah, up to taking alcohol or intoxicants that lead to losing their mind, that do harmful things. Those who act in this way, then inevitably, when conditions are right, they experience pain and suffering. But those who abstain from this, then he saw another different set of patterns where they experience pleasant fruits. But the Buddha didn't just observe patterns spanning many lives. He also observed patterns within one life. And so in his teaching of 45 years, he didn't just keep on talking about past life, future life. He also talked about this life. He also talked about how if you manage your body, speech and mind within this life, you experience good results. He even observed how if individuals within their own vocation, their work, if they apply husbandry over it, yeah, in whichever field you are in, he observed, if you pay attention to what you are supposed to do, you find out more information about your trade, yeah, your speciality, your field, and then you put in effort and you make sure things are done in the correct order, then you can be successful. The Buddha actually covered all this. Then the Buddha also observed that if a person were to live his life even just for one day with mindfulness, if a person were to live his one day with loving kindness, then that whole day will be auspicious. In a way, when we talk about auspicious, that is the closest to maybe what we call blessing or luck. So in Buddhism, we don't say that if you were to put a frog with the money inside the mouth and put it near facing the door, then all the money will come. No. Yeah, or near to the a certain angle, you put a water feature with a crystal ball, and then the water rolling. Make sure you're rolling in a certain direction. Then the Buddha never teach about that. But instead, the Buddha say, watch your body, speech, and mind. You take care of that, the rest will take care of itself. And this is where karma come in. Karma. What is karma? Karma is not an English word, but now it has entered into mainstream English vernacular. Even non-Buddhists know about karma. In a lot of websites, you see karma points. The forum, you see karma points. A lot of people, many times the understood meaning of karma is the result. Actually, that is not karma. Karma is actually referring to actions. Actions produce results. Results, there are two terms that is commonly used. One is vipaka. Vipaka is talking about results. Then sometimes the term phala is used. Phala is fruits. These are not English words. Fruits is English words. Phala and vipaka is not English words. These are Pali Sanskrit terms. Why? Because Buddha is not Englishman. If the Buddha was an Englishman, then it would be different. Then we would have no Pali Sanskrit term. It would be pure English. But then depending on which century. So the word karma means action. In particular, in Buddhism, we are interested in one particular type of action. Intentional action. Actions that has intent. Meaning, you didn't... Are there times when we accidentally do things? Yes. Are there times where we intentionally do things? And then there are some times where the mind is not exactly clear while doing things. Okay? Can you think of an example where you are unconsciously or unintentionally doing things? Wake up from sleep. Most of us wake up unintentionally. Intentionally we want to sleep. Unintentionally wake up. Sometimes we intentionally wake up because we have to go to work. So although we do want to wake up, we have to wake up. What else? Besides sleep.
Something
itchy. Yeah. So this is a very good example, real life example. So something itchy, do we just slap or do we brush it away or do we scratch? So there's no right action in that sense. It's up to individuals. But the question is, why do we slap? Why do we slap? Think about it. When our head is itchy, do we slap our head? You don't slap also, right? You hungry, do you slap? Why do we slap? This has been ingrained over time. We slap here, slap there to inflict harm. Up to even killing. So although at that moment, maybe it's not very clear, but it has been habituated to kill. But what about, let's make it more interesting. Sometimes in the middle of that, you are like half asleep, then half awake, then itchy, then you just scratch. Not even slap, you just scratch. And at that moment, because it's dark, you just scratch, then... The next morning, when you got whole mouth of blood. Okay, maybe not the whole mouth. Usually it's the pillowcase. On the pillowcase, you can see your 好事, all the good deeds you have done at night. Yeah, why? Sometimes you scratch, actually mosquito on your head, then you scratch. Then the mosquito eat halfway. Amitofu. Huh? Yeah. In the case of karma, it must be intentional. Yeah. If it's heavily habituated, even though we are not very consciously having the kind of, okay, I want to kill, it has become second nature to kill. You know? So even though we don't consciously sit down and have a meeting, shall I slap now in order to kill the mosquito on my cheek? By the time you finish your meeting, the mosquito fly away. So sometimes for some people, we may, in that short split second, just make a decision, slap to kill. For harmful actions, this can happen. For harmless or beneficial actions, this can happen also. There are some people, the moment they see someone enter the bus who need the seat, they just instinctively stand up without thinking much. Of course, standing up takes more steps, so we can quite clearly see that it's conscious. Have you ever, like, you know, one moment sitting down, the next moment standing up, and then, what happened? How come I'm standing up now? Has it ever happened? No, not possible. If you do, see me after this. you need counseling. No, Sifu, I unconsciously do a good deed. I just randomly, one moment sitting down, the next moment I was standing up already. One moment I'm at home, the next moment I am at the HSA, the person is taking out my blood. Unlikely. So actions that is more complicated, usually we can say that's very clearly intentional. Yeah. But such instinctive actions, if it's strongly habituated, there's a bit of that intent involved also. After all, whenever there's itch, not everybody will slap up. Correct? No? Some will scratch, some will just, you know, brush it off. So different kind of habituation. Regardless of which type it is, as long as there's some level of intent, then there's another factor, which is, what is the mental, the technical term is mental concomitant. Yeah. The supporting mental factors, that's driving this action. Yeah. In Chinese, we call it xing shuo. Yeah. Is it habituated or is it supported, driven by the unwholesome defilement factors? Yeah. Greed, hatred, or delusion. Is that pushing the action, in other words? Or is it non-greed, non-hatred, and renunciation? The kind of energy that is pushing us to act. Depending on which one, then we plant different kinds of seeds. Different kind of seeds. Yeah. And according to these seeds, then it produces over time, when it's nourished to the point of fruition, then it produces some other future results. So in Buddhism, for every action, there are two levels of results we are talking about. One is the immediate action that we can see. The other one is the seeds that is being planted. The seeds, in turn, produce further results. So technically, we can see three kinds of seeds also, three kinds of results also. One is the immediate result. The other one is the seed. And the seed, in turn, produce future results. Which are the, of these three results, which are the ones that we can see? Immediate one. Yeah. Can you all see the seeds planted in you? Check. Where is the seed stored? In Buddhism, we say it's stored in the mind stream. Yeah. The stream of consciousness. So the term stream is often used. Yeah. In Chinese, we call it Deng Liu. Yeah. So it's not a static thing. In other words, it's not as though there's one solid entity that is unchanging. So it's a continuous, it's a continuum, of ever-changing mind, consciousness, states. Yeah. And this itself changes because of the way we act, the way we speak, the way we think. So there are three kinds of karma: body, speech and mind. And through all this, then we plant new seeds. We plant new seeds. And this in turn shape future, future states, whether directly in terms of our experience, or at a later stage, our rebirth, or even more intimately, the way we think, the way we act. It's all interlinked. All interlinked. Yeah. So, in which case, we can say that in Buddhism, actually, we don't say that there's luck. We don't say that there's luck. But it's not fate also. It's also not fate also. Rather, it's a very complex mesh of interlinked cause and effect. And we are part of this process. So, conventionally speaking, when things go well, people say that you're lucky. Please don't spend time trying to educate your friend. No such a thing as luck. Because unless they are Buddhists, otherwise, you know, different ways of looking at this world. It's just like when it rains, to those who are selling umbrellas, they are very happy. So they say it's good luck, ma. For those of you who want to sleep, who is not working, it's good luck, ma. Very good, ma. Yeah. For those of you who is organizing an event to go out, then it's bad luck, you know. Yeah. It's okay. People, the expression is fine. Then you have to ask yourself, how do we shape these occurrences? In Buddhism, we say you shape these occurrences through our actions. Through our actions. Not by putting one thing here or one thing there. But having said that, just a side note, Chinese geomancy, I'm not an expert, but I have the privilege of knowing some students, some individuals who are experts in these areas. And what they share with me is, it's not some superstitious mumbo-jumbo actually. Yeah. Of course, at this present day and time, some of the things, they put one stone here, one, actually some of this is a bit of whistles and bells. The actual thing is actually about ergonomics. Yeah. About how, for example, when you come in here, how do you all feel? How do you all feel when you come into this hall? Feel good? Huh? The whole place is very clear, very clean, yeah, tidy. The wall color is beige. Yeah, very nice environment. Now imagine this wall is blood red. Yeah, and this whole place is black. And that part, is stained, you know, some off color. How do you all feel? Don't even want to come in. How about if over here, instead of nice white light, we have the discotheque color and then spinning. Then he will be yay. Yeah. And when we are meditating, we, instead of having silence and then instructions, then we play some techno. I think you enter into a different samadhi. So the truth is, we are affected by the environment. Yeah. Geomancy is all about fine-tuning the environment so that most people will find it comfortable. Yeah. And when it's comfortable today, tomorrow, over a period of time, your mental well-being is better. Yeah. And if your mental well-being is better, half the problem is solved already. Yeah. And then you can wake up, you feel good waking up, you feel good coming back. When you go to work, you also, you know, then naturally your so-called luck improve, ma, because you are in a good mood, ma. Everyday good mood, ma. Imagine every day we wake up in a house, you know, dark, black paint and then pour some red color blood color paint. Yeah, every day you wake up, wow, scary. Yeah. But in the Buddhist angle, if you can, yeah, maintain the environment in a neat manner. External world you must take care of, inner sanctum you must take care of as well. No matter how nice the environment is, if your mind, if your heart is not well taken care of, what happened? Even if you are living in the palace, you're miserable. Huh? Yeah. And so in Buddhism, in the Buddha's teaching, the emphasis is 庄严自心, yeah. So to purify, to dignify your mind, your heart. Then, you know, when necessary, yeah, take care of your environment as well. Mm. And then in this way, your so-called luck becomes better. Yeah. But actually, it's basically your actions, your karma. Huh? Okay? Mm. So, do you all feel lucky today? Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, it's a bit of a joke. Every time someone says, say yes. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, why don't I say yes? Every day you wake up, you look at the mirror, you ask yourself, hello, do you want to be happy? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes when you practice mindfulness, just now meditation, I give some instructions. If you really observe yourself over time, hey, then you have a shock, no? Hey, why is it that sometimes I choose to be unhappy, no? Huh? Why do we do that to ourselves? If you can catch yourself doing this, wow, you are the luckiest person, you know. If you can catch your defilements, catch your negative mental states, and gradually overcome it, be in charge, wow, you are the lucky person. Blessed. Good fortune. You don't have to wait for once a year, you know, the God of fortune, Cai San Ye, to give you fortune. You don't have to. You don't have to wait for the first lunar new year to go and chuck your. Know, yeah, don't have to. Through your own transformation, your life transform, become lucky. Yeah. And when that happens, you know what happens? Then you become other people's Cai San Ye, you know. Yeah. Because when you transform, then people look forward to meeting you, you know, because people feel more comfortable with you. People feel at ease with you. Yeah. Don't wait for people to be your good luck charm. Be other people's good luck charm. Help them. You know, Chinese have this saying, 出外要遇贵人, right? And when we go out, we hope that we meet someone who can be beneficial to us. I mean, quite a understandable wish, right? But in Buddhism, we go beyond that. We want to be other people's guiren. How to be other people's guiren? Very simple. Bring them to come SGC. Wow, 讲到重点. No. That's just a joke. Don't just bring them to SGC. Whether to SGC or to other temple, to Dharma, any Dharma, I say that is the right thing to do. Yeah. In fact, in the past 10 over years until now, many times when students, sometimes they happen to go someplace for a talk, then after the talk, they ask me, Sifu, where else can I go to listen to your talks? So I ask them, I tell them, okay, I'm currently giving talks in these places, but where do you stay? Choa Chu Kang. Quite far leh. Why don't you go to, like, for example, Hai Ying Gu Shi? Why don't you go to Zhu Ling Shi? Why don't you go to what Uttayamuni? You know, that's nearer to you, ma. Yeah. But of course, we welcome them to come here also. Yeah. What about some people who stay all the way to the east or northeast? Yeah. Then I tell them, Jingta Shi nearer to you. Why don't you go Jingta Shi? Yeah. But Sifu, some places don't have Dharma talk. Then you go there and ask them to give Dharma talk. Yeah. Sometimes it's not that the venerables don't want to give Dhamma talk. Nobody asks them to give Dhamma talk. Yeah. Then, so those in the northeast, then I tell them, welcome to join us, but if it's too far for you, you can go to Fo Kwang San, you can go to Ci Ji. You know, if you're in the north, then you can go to Kong Ming San, you can go to, what is that? Bao Kwang Fo Tang. You know, different centers. Then east side, I don't have to tell you, because there's so many temples already. Yeah, so it's just a joke. Yeah. Of course, if you want to bring it, also can. Yes. So be other people's equivalent. Yeah. Through our body, speech, and mind. Yeah. Of course, in order to do that, then you must take care of yourself first. When you say take care of yourself, doesn't mean be selfish, you know. But it means caring for your mind. Yeah. Don't let people's action determine the state of your mind. People act in foolish ways, don't let that be a reason for you to be angry. People do things that's unpleasant, that's their problem. You know what I mean? Like your neighbor pang sai. Doesn't mean you must go and collect the sai and eat ma. Right or not? Yeah. But Sifu, the window, you know, the design of the building, HDB, then the toilet just very near to the kitchen. Bopian. If you can, close the door, you know. When people give you rubbish, if you can, you know, don't pay attention to it. Why must you keep on paying attention to it? Yeah, and then best thing, collect one scoop of the pang sai and then bring it home, tapao. Yeah, then when you are free, nothing to do, then that person insult me like this, like that. Then not enough. Tell your husband and wife, tell your family and friends, post on Instagram. Yeah. Don't have to. Don't torture yourself. Yeah. Be kind to yourself. This is what I mean by take care of yourself. Yeah. Only we can take care of our mind. No one else can. Others can try. They can try. But ultimately, it's up to us. Up to us. Yeah. I tell you this not because I'm expert, no. Sometimes I also stupid, no. But because I'm a guo lai ren, so I'm telling you. Yeah, don't be so stupid. Not that you're stupid. I said, Sifu last time stupid. Now, not so stupid. Not wise also, but less stupid. Yeah. Yeah, the path towards enlightenment is all about becoming less stupid. So don't have to think, oh, tomorrow I must become arahant. Don't have. I mean, you can, okay lah. Yeah, tomorrow 3:35, attend arahant. But if you cannot, then tomorrow just be less stupid. You know the Western saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Right? Angry once, shame on who? Angry twice, shame on me. So don't be so shameful. Okay. Bit by bit. Okay, can be lucky or not? Can say yes,
yes.
But not in the don't you know? I Sifu talk so much, then all of you only remember about the frog. then everybody go and buy frog. Fortune Center become really fortune. what happened? How come? Wow, Xing Li Xiu. All remember the wrong thing. Don't remember wrong thing. Okay. Go and attend Dharma class, attend meditation class, then go back home, practice. Any questions? Ask me anything, ask. Yes?
What if somebody believes in pure randomness?
Pure randomness.
Throwing the dice, everything.
Everything is throwing the dice. Actually, some people do think that way, but it's only their thinking. In their heart, they actually don't think in that way also. You know why? You know why Shifu say that? Without surveying the whole world, I know for a fact. Most people, even if they say that, oh, it's all purely random, it's not true. If you ever encounter anybody who say that, then when the person go to toilet, ask the person, why are you going to toilet? Like imagine if you are the one who think that it's pure randomness, Then the person, you know, you go toilet. Why does a person go to the toilet? I mean, imagine it's to pang sai or to pee lah. Okay, why? Because there's a feeling of high tide, ma. Correct? And because of that feeling, and is the feeling of high tide pleasant or unpleasant? Mildly unpleasant. If you keep on holding on to it, does it become more pleasant or less pleasant? Less pleasant. Then at some point, it disappear. Then when it come back again, or even more unpleasant. Yeah? Up to some point, you cannot take it already. Then you want to go toilet. After you go to the toilet, is it more pleasant before or after going to the toilet? Huh? Yeah lah, very simple one. Sifu always ask very straightforward question. Don't think too much. Have you gone to toilet before? Yes, right. Yeah, Sifu asking. No, my example is always very, you know, very dumb one, very mundane one. Not too complicated one. So ask yourself, if such a person goes to a toilet, surely, I mean, it is not that he consciously, okay, now high tide, I must go toilet, so that it's just a very natural thing. Because after going toilet, he feel more relief. If it's purely random, that means that sometimes when you go toilet, after peeing, you feel even more high tide. Then that's purely random. Then, without drinking water, you feel high tide. And you go toilet, no pee, but you feel relief. Then that's purely random. Ah. And then you feel like you are thirsty, and sometimes you drink water, your thirst is quenched. Sometimes you drink water, you become thirstier. And then it's purely random. But is that the case? No. With respect to this, there's two levels. One is how individuals experience it versus what is really happening. Maybe some people, you know, their perception is totally warped. Yeah. But are there people who are so warped that they don't observe any pattern at all? Surely these are, you know, eating, sleeping, shitting, these kind of things. Everybody can observe, ma. So with regards to this, can we say that it's totally random? Cannot. Yeah. So at least they have to say that some things appear random. It's true, ma. Some things you cannot seem to explain. Well. Yeah. But that's only because we don't know enough information. So it appears fairly random. Take for example. Now in this room. Let me see, how many people are there? Maybe about 40 to 50 person. If I were to take a stone, like that, and I throw at one of you, what is the chance that I hit someone who is a human being? Okay, simple answer, 100%. Yeah, if I hit someone, of course it's a human being. Okay, in case if it's not human being, let me know after the class. Then, what is the chance that human being understand English? Should be almost 100%, because all of you are attending this class. This class is mainly in English. Yeah? But if we were to go into some specifics, then it becomes less clear. What's the chance that the person knows cooking? What's the chance that the person knows swimming? Yeah? Then it becomes less and less clear. Yeah. What's the chance that this person knows swimming and so on and so forth? If you add in a few more variables, then it becomes harder to anticipate and to know whether that person will be like this or like that. Then in a way we can say it seems to be something like chance. Huh? But of course we know that if the person swim is because the person go and learn swimming. Ma. Yeah. But there are many other things we may not have privy information. So that it appears almost like chance. Yeah. So for a start, if someone have this opinion that everything is by chance, we must If the person is reasonable, he must agree or she must agree that it is not totally true. Very straightforward real life cases where there's cause and effect. Yeah. Then beyond that, there are certain cases where you can see certain effect, but the cause is not so clear to us. And because it's not so clear to us, it appears as though it's random. We cannot deny that there are many things we don't understand, and so some things appear random. Yeah. The question is, I often take this approach. You all can consider this approach. Very interesting, you know. Because if you want to convince someone it's totally random or totally not random, you have a hard time. Because these are absolute statements. Instead, my approach is often like that. Just consider the different possibilities. Either it's random or not random, or half random, half not random. The question is, if it is random, so what? If it's not random, so what? If it's not random, that means that there are causes and conditions. Then the question is, are you able to affect the causes and conditions? Or are you not able to? If you are able to affect the causes and condition, then you should do something about it. But what if within your means, you're not able to fully control all the causes and condition? That means there are some causes and conditions that's beyond your ability. If you cannot, means you cannot what? Then you have to accept it. Correct? Carrying an umbrella is what you can determine. But the weather you cannot change. If you don't want, if the hassle of carrying an umbrella, then you have to accept the result of being wet when it does rain. Or you can choose to say, no, I don't want. I want to be angry with the weather. I mean, it's your choice, if you want to be like that, you know. It's okay. I don't say that it's wrong. You are the one who's suffering, not me. Correct? So these are the different cases. How about the case where maybe things is really random? That means no matter what you do, yeah, apart from the one that I have demonstrated, like you eat, then you become full, you drink, then you become less thirsty. Yeah, this is agreed, there's cause and effect, right? Yeah. But we also agree that there are some cases where it's a bit ambiguous and appears random. Flight accident. Actually, flight accident is not random as well. Yeah.
Those people who are on board.
Then appears to be quite... So is it random or not?
Everybody on board. Everybody died at the same time.
Yeah. So in Buddhism, common consensus... Actually, it's a consensus. Consensus is always common. the consensus is... Yeah. Yeah, the consensus is that when something happens affecting a particular group, yeah, in unison, is what we call 共业. But, when people ask me, yeah, whether it's an airplane crash or earthquake, tsunami, this and that, when students ask me, I always tell them, I have two answers. One is, I can speculate. The other one is, I don't know. Why I don't know? Because I haven't reached that level where I can see people's karma seed. Oh, your seed ripening already. Oh, this one, the seed, I cannot see it. So I don't know, but I can speculate. But when I say speculate, I don't mean just anyhow guess. What I mean is, based on what the Buddha has taught before and all the different case study, where the Buddha talk about karma, ripening and so on, then we can say, okay, is there any pattern that matches the one that we see in the current life? And if it's strong enough, then we can say, strong correlation. Yeah. But until you can see actual seeds of all the individuals involved in a plane crash or in the natural disaster, until you can see that, you cannot say for sure this is like this or like that. I hesitate to say that. In fact, for any of this, in recent years, because of the new media, you see a lot of people commenting. Different religion, different social groups, different society groups have different opinions. Yeah, Buddhists will come and say, bad karma, collective karma, group karma, all kinds of terms. Then there are some religion who will say, oh, this is because, I mean, not really some religion, some religious group, yeah, who will say, oh, this is because there's a lot of lesbian and gay here. Oh, because over here a lot of people, all kinds of reasons. But personally, I don't know. I mean, who am I I really don't know. I only know when I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I know. Yeah. I only know that if you're hungry, you're hungry. But just because you're hungry doesn't mean that you can get angry and scold people. But if you do that, then people will start to dislike you. Yeah. This pattern I can see. If you act reasonably, doesn't mean people will behave reasonably to you. But it increases the probability that people will associate with you in kind. Yeah. What about earthquake, plane crashes and so on? This is what I told, I wrote on Facebook and mentioned in talks. I say, I really don't know exactly the specific, you know, whether it's karma or this or that. What I do know is this. When there's a disaster, plane crash, earthquake, tsunami and so on, the death and the harm of these individuals definitely bring tears to their family. This is what we know. That much is true. Those who perish in this way, what we know is they are filled with fear. And I don't see how anyone should wish that for anybody else. And so I think for myself, the right thing or the better thing to do is to wish for them wherever they are to be at peace, to be at ease. Yeah. And to come in contact with individuals who can help them, including those who are surviving, their family members, for them to find strength and support from whoever they can find support from. Of course, not everybody Buddhist, ma. Yeah. Maybe if they are not non-Buddhist, they would connect better from support from a priest or from an imam or ustaz, then that should be what they are receiving. Yeah. No. That much I know. How? Any more questions? Yeah.
So, based on what you have said, whatever good or bad happens to people, not necessarily that it's doing karma.
Two answers. One, I don't know. Two, I can speculate. Yes. There are some cases where there's almost a direct example of the same thing happening in the past, yeah, in the Buddha's time. Then we can say strong correlation. But there are many times where sometimes students share with me some cases, or sometimes it's happening to them. And when I listen through the whole chain of events, many times people, when they come to me for counseling, they have a bit of a shock. Yeah, because many times when students come and see a monk, they kind of expect two things. Number one, consolation. Aiya, 辛苦了, 不容易啊. They expect Sifu to say these kind of things. Yeah, regardless of whatever happened, they expect Sifu to nod the head, then 倒茶, 喝茶喝茶. And then the number two they expect is, by, 点个香啊, 天福天寿, 师父念个大悲咒. Some senior monks told me, sometimes they are not in the correct frame of mind to listen to Dharma also. Wopien have to give them this first. Antara Singh, then after that, you drown them with Dharma. But sometimes I don't know. I just cut it across. Zah! So halfway through, I will ask them, they will share. And then sometimes, wow, 一把 PT, 一把 lay. So I always have tissue. But I, besides giving them tissue, I also give them questions. Yeah. And many a times, I will stop them and I say, wait, rewind, can you clarify this part? Because anyone can give you consolation. Anyone can console you. Anyone can say, why your boss like that? Why your husband like that? Why your daughter like that? Why your wife like that? Anyone can say that. Anyone. Y'all want, y'all just go online. I just said all this, right? You cut this part. Then anytime you feel down, you just play what Sifu just said. Why your wife like that? Then you feel good already, ma. You don't need to come all the way to see Sifu. Just play back this clip. Forward, rewind. Yeah. So instead, I will help them to look at the situation from different angles. Which is, if you look at many suttas, that's what the Buddha do. Yeah, the Buddha help people to have to revisit what they have experienced from a different set of lens with wisdom. Yeah. But it's a painful process. So sometimes, some students, they cannot take it. Then they, Sifu, 我看你也是忙哦。 But this Sifu quite blur one. 因为没有,我今天没有事情。 I'm quite free today, don't worry. Yeah, but over the years, I realized that this is the word to tell me they want to go already. Yeah. But there are also those, as we go through this process, it helped them to see that they are partially responsible and involved in the outcome also. It's not finger pointing or blaming. It's to help people to realize that things is not so one dimension or one sided. Yeah. But it's multifaceted. To me, helping people see in this way helps them to realize that they are involved in it, and by seeing that, it empowers them to know that their happiness is at least partially in their hands. I don't say totally in your hand. You know, sometimes people say your happiness is totally in your hand. Your life, your success is totally rubbish. Totally in my hand. If it's totally in all our hand, who do want to be Bill Gates, no? Right? It's partially, at least partially. Yeah. Recognizing that helps us to take responsibility of our own life. Yeah. And so for some students who are able to see this, it benefits them. So, I forgot your question already.
Things whether good or bad happens for us, may not be due to karma.
Yes. So, it depends. So, still there's two. Yeah, so, I will usually sit down with people. Yeah, because specifics. Important thing is, whether it's this way or that way, we can control two things. One is how we act and how we feel towards the incident. This part we can control. It's like some students tell me, Sifu, I'm very sui, you know. Everywhere I work, I always meet people who want to harm me, want to sabo me, want say nasty things to me. I often share this with students. 嘴巴长在人家的脸上, 耳朵长在自己的头上, 你要学习怎么听, yeah. The mouth is on people's face. It's up to them what they want to say. But the ears is on our head. Use your head to think what you want to listen to. Yeah. Don't let what people say cause you misery. They say nasty things, leave it with them. Don't bring it home. Don't tapao. Put it inside. Bring back, replay. Yeah. Can you imagine? Every time people scold you, then you say, hey, wait, repeat, repeat. I want to record. Then I go back and listen. Actually, this is what we are doing, you know. Don't do this. Huh? Be nicer to yourself. Okay. Yuan xiao san zhang zhu fan nao.
Yuan xiao san zhang zhu fan nao.
Yuan de zhi hui zhen ming liao.
Yuan de zhi hui zhen ming liao.
不愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道。阿弥陀佛，
阿弥陀佛，
起立。